Radio Prague News. The United States Senate has rejected President Obama's nominee for the post of U.S. Ambassador to the Czech Republic. The opposition have demanded a thorough investigation into claims that a security agency formerly owned by the transport minister had shadowed leading Prague politicians. And the Supreme Court has upheld a jail sentence for a Czech musician arrested earlier this year in a nationwide crackdown on neo-Nazis. The United States Senate has rejected President Obama's nominee for the post of U.S. Ambassador to the Czech Republic, White House Counsel for Ethics and Government Reform Norman Eisen. The president made his choice known following a trip to Prague in July of this year, and his nominee was expected to sail smoothly into the post after being successfully vetted by the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. The ambassadorial position has been vacant since the departure of Richard Graeber in January of last year following the change of administration in Washington. Observers say it will now remain empty at least until December following midterm elections in the United States. The opposition Social Democrats have demanded a thorough investigation into claims that a security agency formerly owned by Transport Minister Vít Bárta had shadowed leading Prague politicians. Acting Social Democrat Chairman Bohuslav Sobotka said that if the allegations, which appeared in Thursday's Mladá Fronta Dnes, are confirmed, then the Prime Minister should sack both the Transport Minister and Interior Minister Radek Jón, a close associate from the same party Public Affairs. Mr. Sobotka also called for legislation which would regulate the activities of security agencies operating on Czech territory. Politicians across the political spectrum have expressed concern over the allegations, pointing out that sensitive information collected about public officials not only violates their privacy but opens the door to corruption. Minister Bárta has denied the claims and announced that his brother, who now owns the ABL security agency, would sue the paper over the story. The Supreme Court on Friday upheld a three-year jail sentence for Czech musician Michal Moravec, arrested earlier this year in a nationwide crackdown against neo-Nazis. Moravec had appealed a verdict by a regional court which found him guilty of spreading racist propaganda at neo-Nazi concerts. He was the author of lyrics which experts described as openly racist and wrote the sleeve notes to a CD called Triumph of the Will, where he glorified the Nazi philosophy. Moravec tried to defend himself by saying that some of the offensive words were the result of mispronunciation. Labour Minister Jaromír Drábek and union leaders are battling out their differences over planned changes to the Labour Code in the Senate. The all-day conference in the upper chamber was organised by the Senate's deputy chairman Michal Štech, himself a former union leader, in the hope of getting the centre-right cabinet to back down on some of the most controversial amendments in the pipeline. Czech unions have been fighting the government's intention to overhaul the system according to which public sector employees are paid, with the intention of significantly lowering fixed salaries and increasing bonuses for performance. A late-night meeting on Thursday between workers' leaders and the Prime Minister, Petr Nečas, failed to break the deadlock, and the unions are threatening to strike if the government tries to implement the proposed changes. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be cloudy to overcast, with rain in places and day temperatures between 11 and 14 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, broadcasting from the Czech Republic with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up today, the United States' long empty ambassadorial post in Prague looks like staying vacant for some time to come. Public uproar erupts over a detective agency's surveillance of a Prague town hall, and an armed robbery goes badly wrong in a crowded shopping mall. And later in the arts, we look at a company that is cashing in from the sale of communist propaganda films from the 1950s. All that coming up, so stay tuned. The post of United States Ambassador to Prague has gone unfilled since the start of 2009, when the previous George Bush appointed ambassador was recalled. Now it appears the job will remain vacant for even longer, after the Obama administration's choice for envoy to the Czech Republic was rejected in the US Senate. Ian Willoughby reports.
The term of the last American ambassador to Prague, Richard Graber, ended on January 20, 2009, when Barack Obama became president. Since that time, the Grand US Ambassador's residence in the Czech capital has been without an occupant. Journalist Daniel Anish, who was formerly based in Washington, says the continued failure to fill the post represents an unpleasant situation in relations between the two countries.
And it's kind of symbolical. You can take it as a symbolical that there is no ambassador in Prague. On one level, there are technical issues because he was not approved by Senate twice already. But you can hear more often and often that it's strange that such an ally as Czech Republic doesn't have an ambassador.
Efforts have been made to fill the position. Billionaire businessman Mark Nathanson had been in the frame, but was reported this January to have had problems getting the required security clearance. Then, at the end of June, the matter appeared to have been resolved, with the announcement that Norman Eisen would be coming to the Czech capital. Mr. Eisen is a lawyer who's advised President Obama on ethical matters, and at the time much was made of his Central European roots. His nomination seemed to be the proverbial shoe-in. However, it hit a major bump in the road on Thursday, when Republican Chuck Grassley, with whom Mr. Eisen had previously clashed, blocked the appointment in the Senate. But all is not lost as regards Mr. Eisen's nomination. Senator Grassley's veto may be overridden, says Daniel Anish.
This hold could be removed, and then maybe at the end of this year, after the recess, when the Senate will be back, they could try to approve him again. Or there is another possibility that, if I'm not wrong, that the administration could approve Mr. Eisen in the recess time. So there is a still chance that till the end of this year, Mr. Eisen could be approved.
It would seem then that the position of U.S. ambassador to Prague will remain vacant until at least January, 2 years after the previous American envoy went home.
That report was by Ian Willoughby. The daily Mladá Fronta Dnes on Thursday revealed that a former Prague district mayor had been intensively monitored by a detective agency 4 years ago. On Friday, the plot thickened, with the paper asserting that a multitude of officials at the Prague 11 town hall had been clandestinely investigated and that detectives with ties to the coalition's public affairs party were responsible. Both the government and the opposition are now calling for answers. Christian Falvey reports.
Someone spent a lot of time in early 2006 gathering a slew of information on Marta Šurfová, then the Civic Democratic mayor of Prague 11 and now the head of the party's main office, photographing her movements, trailing her children, and even absconding with the contents of her waste bins. The daily Mladá Fronta Dnes says the investigation was a concerted effort to discredit her, undertaken by the country's largest security and detective agency, ABL. While ABL denies participation, Mladá Fronta claims to have electronic reports traceable back to the company that scrutinize the intimate and legally protected personal data of not only Ms. Šurfová, but at least half a dozen officials then serving at the town hall. The political ramifications of the case go beyond what the Prime Minister Petr Nečas called his shock and horror at the revelation that even children were surveilled. ABL, or the Agency of the White Lion, was founded by Vít Bárta, grey eminence of the Public Affairs Party, who sold the firm to his brother before becoming Minister of Transport. A number of former ABL employees also staffed the party's ministries. As the Prime Minister called for a police investigation, the opposition Social Democrats have called for the Interior and Transport Ministers to step down, should ABL's involvement in the case be proven.
Christian Falvey there with the ever-deepening mystery surrounding that detective story. One of the most violent cases of attempted robbery seen in the Czech Republic in some years took place on Thursday. A man who tried to rob an exchange office in the town of Krnov was detained by customers and staff, but when he was being arrested, a grenade went off, killing the man and injuring six others, four of them police officers. Jan Richter has the details.
Just before 2:30 on Thursday afternoon, a man walked into an exchange office inside a shopping mall in the northeastern town of Krnov. He was armed with two or three hand grenades and a pistol, and told the woman behind the counter to give him all the cash in the safe. But she refused and screamed for help. Her action deterred the man, who left the office and tried to walk away. While still inside the shopping center, customers and salespeople detained him. In the skirmish, the man fired his gun but hit no one. A woman grabbed one of the grenades from his hand and threw it away. The police arrived just minutes later. An off-duty officer, who happened to be in the mall, was also present. But when they were handcuffing the robber, one of the remaining grenades went off, killing the man and injuring six other people, including all the police officers present. The police said the explosion would have been much more devastating had it not been for one of the officers who threw himself onto the robber and pinned him to the ground moments before the blast. The explosion blew the robber's body into pieces and severely wounded the 33-year-old policeman. One of the witnesses spoke to Czech radio shortly after Thursday's incident.
The policeman did a great thing. What can I say? He's a hero. Who would do such a thing? Anybody else would have run away. We live here just above the department store. We heard a bang and thought that some scaffolding had fallen down because they keep renovating houses in the area.
The policeman was flown to hospital and underwent an operation. His condition is reported as stable. As for the perpetrator, police say the extent of the explosion means they have as yet been unable to identify him. Witnesses said he spoke Czech with an Eastern Slavic accent. Meanwhile, the regional police chief Tomáš Tuhý says such violence is unparalleled.
I don't know of any similar robbery with explosives attempted in the past. These kinds of places, banks, exchange offices, have of course been targeted before. Sometimes the robbers have fake guns, but they also have real ones. However, in the region, we have never seen such a devastating incident.
Police say they're seeing more violent robberies than previously, with criminals prepared to use greater force than in the past. Over 100 bank and exchange office robberies were reported between January and August. That compares to 116 such crimes last year and 86 in 2008.
Jan Richter with that tale of a bungled robbery and upsurge in violent crime. Now I'm joined in the studio by Daniela Lazarova for our regular update on the business news.
Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas has floated the radical idea of raising the lower rate of value-added tax from 10 to 16 or 17% in 2012. The Prime Minister announced the idea as a possible way of bankrolling cuts in company insurance costs and pushing through pension reform thanks to the 40 billion crowns that could be raised. But he admitted the move, which would increase the costs of around two-fifths of frequently bought goods, had not been fully discussed with coalition partners.
Electricity costs will climb next year by around 12% for households and 17% for companies, according to estimates by the Energy Regulatory Office. If realised, that sort of rise would be the steepest for households in the last decade. The regulator's estimates are an attempt to get to grips with the costs of paying for renewable electricity, and in particular the boom in solar power this year. The government is still looking for ways of curbing the expected increases, with one idea being that higher taxes on coal and gas can be used to cushion the blow.
Carmaker Škoda Auto has unveiled its latest moves to produce environmentally friendly models at the Paris Motor Show. It rolled out its new Green Line range, including improved motors, engine shutdown during congestion, recuperation of brake energy, and better aerodynamics. These improvements will be offered across its whole current range. The carmaker also showed off its first pilot electric car, an adapted Octavia, capable of top speeds of 135 kilometers an hour and 8 hours of driving from one battery charge. Around 20 such vehicles will undergo road tests next year. The company says full-scale production could be envisaged within 3 to 4 years.
Czech beer sales slumped by 12% in the first half of the year, with demand dropping at home and abroad, according to the National Beer and Malt Association. The latest figures follow a 6% fall in production last year. The association says a decline in tourist numbers was partly responsible for the latest fall in consumption, but tax increases pushing up beer prices have also had an impact. Poor summer weather has also been blamed. Some mid-sized breweries have apparently weathered the downturn better than the bigger market leaders.
Bet on the bettors, that is essentially the offer being made by the owner of Czech gambling company Fortuna. The Penta Investment Company says it is floating a minority stake in the betting company on the Prague and Warsaw stock exchanges by the end of the year. Fortuna will become the first new company to make it onto the Prague exchange in 2 years. Penta claims that with solid 10% growth over the last few years and around a third of the Czech market, Fortuna is a safe bet.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now it's time for the last part of our show today here on Radio Prague, which is arts. The 1950s have gone down in Czechoslovak history as a grim decade of fear, repression and show trials. The communist regime tried to boost its flagging popularity with a series of propaganda films. Out of circulation and out of favour for many years, one company is releasing these films as CDs and has apparently tapped into strong demand, partly fuelled by curiosity. Ian Willoughby reports on the phenomenon.
Batostroj, named Giant Shoe Factory in English, is a Czechoslovak film set in the interwar period that can only be described as crude communist propaganda. In this scene, a capitalist fat cat factory owner, clearly modelled on the Batia family of shoe magnates, orders unsold shoes to be burned and the costs deducted from workers' wages, justified by the lie that they'd been sent back for being poor quality. Later in the film, a handsome young communist organizer rallies the workers with a stirring speech against the Batia stand-in industrialists. As comrade Clement Gottwald said, "We'll deal with you just as the Bolsheviks in Russia dealt with the Tsar, Kerensky and the bourgeoisie." Giant Shoe Factory has been released on DVD as part of a series of socialist realist pictures entitled Filmy Patri Lidu, or Films Belong to the People. The other films released so far are Tomorrow People Will Be Dancing Everywhere and Red Blaze Over Kladno, which is based on a novel written by communist politician Antonín Zapotocký shortly before he became Czechoslovak president. All three films were made in the 1950s, the harshest decade of the communist era, notorious for its brutal repression, show trials and forced labor camps.
Because of my age, Czechoslovakia in the 1950s is something relatively archaic, so I'm one of those people who find these films interesting because they are amusing and part of our history, nothing more.
Says Markéta Nedvěrová from the company behind the DVD series Levné knihy, which also sells them in its chain of discount shops. She agrees that these socialist realist films are so unsophisticated that many young Czechs today simply find them hilarious.
Ale není to jen kvůli té propagandě, ale zub času.
But not just because of the propaganda. The ravages of time are the main reason, because the actors act completely different than actors do today. There is a lot of pathos, and the films as films are simply naive. Very few of them are of higher quality, though you can find better ones.
Samozřejmě minimum, ale i ty se najdou, no.
However, not everybody finds these propaganda movies funny.
Negativní reakce jsou tam většinou od lidí, kteří se ty filmy pamatují.
Most negative reactions come from people who remember these films and who don't understand that today's young generation has no way to access them legally. They have an unjustified fear regarding communism. They think it could return in that form. But they are old films and young people take them as such. They don't influence their political opinions. They complete your education as regards films, but not politics.
Vám doplní vzdělání, co se týče filmu, a ne politiky.
Nedvědová says those who are particularly annoyed by the socialist realist films her company has released on DVD aren't actually from the generation that suffered the most.
Ti úplně staří, kteří tohle právě zažili,
the oldest generation who lived through those times don't have the most negative reactions. The most strongly opposed are middle-aged people who didn't experience the 1950s at a productive age. In my view, it makes more sense to listen to those who are even older.
A jestliže se vám přesto podaří rozpoutat válku, pamatujte si,
in this scene from Giant Shoe Factory, the young communist warns the capitalists that if they succeed in unleashing a Second World War, the last day of the war will be their last day of domination. Then we, the workers of this country, will rule forever. Surely this is nothing but the simplest of propaganda.
Samozřejmě, ale to je pak propaganda celé té produkce.
Of course it is, but then all of the films produced by the company Czechoslovak State Film, which was nationalized in 1948, were propaganda. If we were to look at things that way, we'd have to condemn all the films made throughout that era, until the revolution, which isn't possible.
Celou éru až do revoluce, což není možné.
Is there any comparison to be made between these Czechoslovak communist movies and the propaganda films of the Nazis? Markéta Nedvědová again.
Já myslím, že to je úplně jakoby špatná idea.
I think that's a very bad idea, because films in Nazi Germany were created in completely different conditions than in the nationalized Czechoslovak film industry. There was a limited history of cinematography here, unlike in Germany, where they had the brilliant era of Weimar films behind them. Even though many people quickly emigrated, they still had an elite which had already achieved things and were able to continue in their own way. But here, inexperienced people got to the top because the field had been cleared.
Garnitury a dostávali se nahoru, protože byla vyklizena pole.
The theme song from Zítra se bude tančit všude, or Tomorrow People Will Be Dancing Everywhere, which suggests that will come about once the victorious red flag is flying from flagpoles around the world. This film focuses on an overly academic folk music group who develop a love for the real music of the people and overcome the opposition of bourgeois elements to join the Czechoslovak Youth Union, a communist organization. As well as propaganda elements like a song in praise of Stalin, Tomorrow People Will Be Dancing Everywhere features chaste romance, comically simple dialogue, and wooden acting.
Zítra se bude tančit všude, až naše vítězné vlajky rudé.
Author Pavel Kohout, who penned the theme song and co-wrote the screenplay, appears on the DVD of Tomorrow People Will Be Dancing Everywhere before the film begins. He explains to young viewers how their predecessors, himself included, were seduced by communism in the dark days after World War II.
Nám, kteří jsme tenkrát vyšli současně...
What the great Slovak writer Dominik Tatarka called the demon of conformity suited those of us who in those days were emerging from both puberty and the bloody tunnel of history. It was wonderful to be part of a collective which together remolded history. The driving force was enthusiasm.
Pavel Koholt, who went on to become a signatory of Charter 77, concludes his commentary with the following words.
Its creators, living and dead, soon split into those who continued to live in that lie and those who decided to refute it in their future lives. The stars favored the second group, and for that reason you can today watch this film and think, and say out loud, whatever you like about it.
Pavel Koholt there, ending that edition of The Arts by Ian Willoughby, which was first broadcast at the start of April. Please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. The postal address is Vinohradska 12, 12099, Prague 2. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. As always, everything you heard in the programme can also be found at radio.cz. There you'll also find a huge archive of reports and features in both text form and audio. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting service. We'll talk again tomorrow, but for until then, from myself, Chris Johnston, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye.